Welcome back to Ask Me Another, NPR and WNYC's Hour of Trivia, Puzzles, and Word Games. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and please welcome our very important puzzler, author Elizabeth Gilbert.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you.
Now, you live in New Jersey.
I don't want to brag, but yes, I do.
But
which is where you would live if you could live anywhere.
If you could live
in the
anywhere,
entire
that's
world.
What you'd be. But you grew up on a Christmas farm?
I did.
A Christmas tree farm.
A Christmas tree farm.
A Christmas farm. It's
yes.
Just Christmas every day. There's elves.
We grow Christmas.
It's a happiness farm.
Let's go harvest some Noel. Yes, I grew up on a Christmas tree farm. I'm an elf, I guess, in that regard.
Now, I and millions of people have read Eat, Pray, Love. And obviously, blockbuster hit becomes a movie, feature film starring Julia Roberts. But I was interested to learn that this wasn't the first time something you wrote became a movie.
Oh, you've done your homework.
Yes.
Yes.
So the movie Coyote Ugly was based on an essay you wrote.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, we have to hear about this.
Well, since we're in a bar, I could just act it out. But I think it would be... I worked at the original Coyote Ugly bar when I was a young, I guess I wasn't unemployed because I was a bartender.
but I was certainly
unpublished. I was a young unpublished writer. And then later when I became a writer, I wrote an article about it for GQ. And then Disney read this article about this filthy, disgusting pit in the East Village where we used to set the bar on fire to get customers away from us and said, that's a great movie for kids. And they made the fantastic Coyote Ugly movie, now legendary.
Two movies under your belt. Now, you wrote that for GQ.
Yes, I did.
And early in your career as a journalist and a writer, you were writing for a lot of these guy magazines, right?
Yep.
GQ, Esquire.
Spin.
Yep,
I wrote for and about men, which is why it's so ironic that now I am the uber chick-lit author.
Supposedly you even dressed in drag for a week to live as a guy?
I did. When I worked for GQ, I spent a week living as a man, which was actually... I'm sorry to say, embarrassingly easy for me to do. It took about, they brought in a drag king as a consultant, and it took her about 10 minutes to make me into a very plausible dude. a little tiny goatee and short hair, and there's Luke right there.
Was that your name, Luke?
That was my name, yeah.
Luke.
And I also got a, I don't know, can I say this on radio? A condom full of bird seed to wear in my pants to just make it. It was, you just want to feel real,
yeah.
You know? You want to feel real.
And what did you, you just walked around?
I just tried to do, like, the guyest stuff that I could think. I went and tried to join the Air Force in Times Square. And I remember the takeaway from that is the Air Force recruiter saying, you want to punch holes in the sky, Luke? And I was like, yeah, I want to punch holes in the sky. I went to Shea Stadium and I used the men's room.
Yeah.
Terrifying. There was a sort of moment like in the movie Witness where the little boy is peering through the crack and sees everything, and there was this little kid kind of looking at me through a crack, and I was like, if you tell anyone what you have seen.
You didn't just go, I'm a writer.
I will come to your house and dress your mother like this. It's like, what is this thing, being a man?
And the conclusion?
I wasn't into it.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's good.
I wasn't into it. I was happy to take those ace bandages off and get rid of the bird seed.
And move
Feed
on.
Feed the birds and move on.
With the birds. So, Eat, Pray, Love, huge female readership. A lot of guys read it too, but I know that, I mean, it changed women's lives. I think that must have been a lot of responsibility for you to bear, that you're writing a memoir about your life, about some things that you decided to do, some choices you make,
yeah.
And all of a sudden you were like a self-help guru for these people that are using it as an instruction manual.
Well, I try to tell them, first of all, I thank them. I'm very glad that they're all using it as an instruction manual in one regard, but I also do try to make clear to them, you know, this doesn't mean that everybody has to get divorced and move to India. But
right.
If you want to, you go ahead and do it. But I mean, in all seriousness, the thing that I do try to convey is don't do what I did, but ask what I asked.
And now you return to writing a novel. You have written novels before. This book, The Signature of All Things, this is set in the 19th century.
Yeah.
And we follow this woman, Alma, who is a botanist.
Yes, birth to death story of a very passionate, toweringly intellectual 19th century woman of science.
And it's written in a language that really evokes the 19th century. Did that come natural to you?
I told you about my upbringing, right?
Oh, that's right.
I was essentially raised in the 19th century. But I did grow up reading. I'm a 21st century writer, but I'm a 19th century reader. But mostly that I didn't get the language of my novel mostly from that. I got it from reading a lot of 19th century letters, because that's where you can hear people's speaking voices.
Oh yeah, so you dove in. You did like a huge amount of research.
3 years of research, yeah, on botany and evolution and missionaries and abolition and 19th century erotica. That was really fun to research.
Oh yeah, so right, because you have some steamy,
it's a little steam
sex. So
it's a little, yeah, it's a little heat.
So yeah, where
it's
did you
sizzle.
Where did you go to read that, or who do you check how that
it's
works?
It's funny, a lot of it. Yeah.
It was steamy, I gotta
Where
say.
Where do you check steam. How that works is such a great question. You go to, a lot of it was really interestingly disguised in the 19th century as medical journals. So it would sort of be in the voice of a learned doctor talking about somebody's pathologies, and then it would just get really detailed, and then it would get really sweaty, and then you're like, this isn't a doctor. So I got to read a lot of that, which was great.
Dr. Feelgood.
Yes. I would like to see a degree, mister, if you are a mister.
Well, I think it's a fantastic book, and I think Oprah should start a Moss Club to further support what you're doing. Elizabeth Gilbert, would you like to play a little Ask Me Another Challenge with us?
Would I?
Okay, fantastic. Elizabeth Gilbert, everybody. So, Elizabeth, we wanted to find you a worthy opponent, and I think we did very well. Please welcome Gabrielle Hamilton. Now, Gabrielle has her own memoir, Blood, Bones, and Butter, so we knew she was no stranger to the game of love, and she knows her way around the kitchen because she has an amazing restaurant in New York called Prune. This is a game called Eat, Pray, Love. What we're going to do is name a few things, and all you have to do is tell us, is it a food that you eat, a deity that you would pray to, or a famous person or fictional character that you would love, at least if you were that person's lover. Jonathan Colton and I are going to be alternating questions between you two, so there's no need to buzz in. You just tell us, eat, pray, or love. So we'll start with you, Gabrielle. Cressida. Would you like to know how that's spelled?
It's Cressida.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I want to pray and love. But can I pray?
You can pray, but you might want to pray for an answer, yeah, because it's not that one. That is love.
All right, Liz. Bon me.
One more time?
Bon me. B-A-N-H... M-I.
B-A-N-A. I think that's eat.
It is. That's right. It's your classic Vietnamese baguette situation.
This is for you, Gabrielle. Onigiri. Onigiri. There we go. I'm going to pronounce everything in 9 ways. You choose which one you think is right. Onigiri.
Yeah, you're going to eat that.
Yes, you are going to eat that.
Liz Gilbert, mini haha.
Oh, Minnehaha is a goddess, right? Pray? Or is she a girlfriend? Lake
Depends
Minnehaha
on who you ask, I suppose.
Is it in Minnesota, isn't it? Is it a person? Is it a girlfriend? It's love. Let's
You're just
go with
saying
love.
Everything you
I'm
can
just gonna
think
say,
of.
Do you eat it? I'm going to go with love.
Love is correct. That's the lover of Hiawatha.
The lover of Hiawatha.
Pele.
You pray to it.
Yes. Not a soccer player, but a Polynesian god of volcanoes.
Liz, Hathor.
Hathor?
Hathor. H-A-T-H-O-R.
Pray.
Yeah, very good. Egyptian goddess of beer.
Who knew?
And fertility.
Yep, makes sense.
Same thing, really.
Yeah, kind of.
Gabrielle, Injera. I nailed the pronunciation of that, by the way.
You eat that.
Yes, you do. Spongy
in Ethiopia,
bread. Exactly.
Think, yeah.
That spongy bread.
Whoa.
Liz, Mumtaz Mahal.
Mumtaz Mahal?
Mumtaz Mahal. M-U-M-T-A-Z, new word, M-A-H-A-L.
Pray.
No, I'm sorry.
What?
The wife for whom Shah Jahan built Taj Mahal.
Oh.
It was Mumtaz Mahal.
Is that why her name rhymes with it?
I guess. Who knows how they do things? I don't know.
If only you'd been to India.
If only I'd been to India.
That was a good one.
I actually was in Indiana in that section of the book, and now we all know. Busted.
This is your last set of clues. Fabulinus, that's the name. Fabulinus. Gabrielle, what is that? Eat, pray, or love?
I'm going to pray to that.
Yes, exactly. You're going to pray to that. God of musical theater. No.
Yeah.
A god in the popular religion of ancient Rome. There you go. Fabulinus teaches children to speak and gets an offering when the child says its first words. So there you go. It's kind of like a tooth fairy, but more expensive.
How, Carl?
Can you spell it?
Hmm.
I mean, could you spell it if you weren't looking at it?
There's an H, and then there's an A with a diacritical mark above it. And then a K, and then an A, and then an R, and then an L.
I'm going to pray to that.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. That's eat. That's something you would want to eat. It is fermented shark meat from Iceland.
Oh.
Anthony Bourdain said it is terrible. So maybe you don't want to eat it after
it
all.
It sounds absolutely terrible.
Yeah,
it does sound awful.
So eat is sort of like in brackets around that one.
Technically, it may be eaten.
Greg?
The word for the end of this is blood, bones, better. Gabrielle, you are our winner.
Well done. And this is how it works. Elizabeth, you and Gabrielle are both going to receive official Ask Me Another Rubik's Cubes. And we thank you so much for playing with. Thank you so much, Gabrielle.
Thank you,
Elizabeth Gilbert.
I can cook a little, but it's not a lot to shout about. It's kind of mean cuisine. So I eat out. Hey, the Nomi, the Greek, and the chicken, the Italian, the Indian, too. They all say, here comes that sad American man again. What are we gonna do? Well, you can put me in the table, in the corner, in the back, unless you got one in the telephone booth. I'm here and I'm alone again, it's sad, but it's the truth. No, I'm not expecting anyone, is that beyond belief? Give me a take, take away the candle, never mind the aperitif. I can cook a little, but it's not a lot to shout about. It's kind of mean cuisine, so I eat out.
Jonathan Coulton.